2, 3, 4.
What is the definition of a man?
It's a boy thing.
I think as a man, we do have a lot of responsibilities.
Ah, it's a boy thing.
Someone who works towards being respected.
It's a boy thing.
In today's society, that seems to change.
It's a boy thing.
You can just be whatever you want to be and define that as being a man.
It's a boy thing.
Being a man is being able to show that sad side of you, not just the no emotion side. That's about it.
Bags, so nice to see you.
Frisee! It's a beautiful day in Dunedin.
This is a beautiful moment. I'm sitting here and I'm watching you through the screen and I'm thinking, this is my beloved friend Bagley, and she is teaching in the secondary school that I went to. So do you want to introduce yourself? Tell us who you are, what you're up to.
Hi, everyone. My name's Gina.
I am a head of English, that's right, at Otago Boys High School. So I'm at Chris's former school, which is pretty special, actually, because for me, when I came into the boardroom today or this afternoon to record this, I thought about all the people that have come through this space. I am one of many Bagleys that actually have set foot on these grounds. Bagleys were first day pupils when the school opened in 1863, and my dad was a prefect at Campbell House in the boarding house, so he was a boarding prefect. So it's really nice to actually be at Otago Boys, and I'm really enjoying the culture of the school and getting to know the young men that are here. Teaching for quite some time, most of that time was at Mount Aspiring, where obviously Chris and I met one another. I was really fortunate to spend a year last year at Queen's High School in Dunedin, and now I'm at Otago Boys back in a middle management role, which is the head of department role. I guess I should add to this that I am a wife and a mother of 4 children, 3 of which are boys. So, poor me, maybe?
Yeah, maybe, but it underlines quite a lot of expertise around teaching boys, though, doesn't it? And a lot of reasons to care. I also HOD of English at a secondary boys' school. So we're both doing the same work. I'm in Christchurch. I started at Mount Aspiring College on the same day that Bagley did, and that was definitely, well, the early 21st century, let's say. And we've kind of done the journey of developing our practice as teachers a lot of the time together. We've gone to different places at times. I spent a few years in London, but there's been a real parallel between us, and that's what brought us to this podcast. We feel like the conversations we have, which are often quite a lot of fun around the work we do, are kind of worth sharing. I feel like after all this time, there's probably a few things that we've figured out that could be of use to other people, or at least affirming to other people.
Even if this podcast doesn't do anything beyond getting people to ask questions. Do you know what I mean? Like, so we're talking about things being affirming. Yeah, that's amazing. But if it gets people reflecting on their practice and asking questions that we, if we end up polarizing people somewhat and it causes them to ask questions, then I think that's amazing, because that's what we should be doing.
I think that comes back to a bit of discomfort, doesn't it?
Yeah. Like,
if we're going to get better, then you have to first embrace the discomfort of acknowledging the possibility that we've been getting a bit of stuff wrong, or there is more to learn. And I think, you know, we both have that disposition. And to be honest, that's the disposition that you'd expect from a teacher, given we work in education. But there's a lot of things in education that militate against people admitting that they're getting things wrong or that they're not being effective. To be honest, I think the kind of performance expectations of teachers lead to teachers taking shortcuts and avoiding the hard stuff, and it impoverishes the learning experience for students, doesn't it?
It does. And I also think that to be an educator means that you have to be vulnerable. You know, like you're exposing yourself, who you are, obviously your morals, but also at times, our weaknesses. I think to be an effective practitioner, you have to come in with like a wide open heart.
But part of having a wide open heart is sort of facing the truth. And facing the truth for us means that we have to look at groups of year 9 students who enter our schools with sometimes quite alarmingly low levels of basic literacy.
Yes.
They kind of can't read and write, really. Not at the level you'd expect for a 13-year-old. Mm-hmm. And it's not okay for us as secondary teachers to shrug our shoulders as if it's not our fault, or do the thing that I know has become part of the culture, and I understand why, but I still don't agree, and that is to say it's a whole school problem. I mean, if we have students in our classes that can't read and write, and we're English teachers, or in our case, HODs of English, then it's our responsibility to do something about it. If not us, then who, right?
Yes. Yes, and I think one of the colleagues that I work with was saying to me just this week or whatever that, you know, students, if they are let down in their primary or intermediate schooling facilities, then they come to us, and there's this expectation, probably more expectation from us because we're English teachers, that we're going to be able to remedy what hasn't taken place, and we do have to work that much harder. One of my friends is a primary school teacher at Opoho Primary here in Dunedin, and she was talking to me, and I was talking about my own son and or one of my boys, saying that, of course, by the time they hit year three, you have to do four times the amount of teaching to catch them up if they're behind. That frightens me, because we know that there's a lot of our students, our boys, that will be behind come year three.
The statistics are there. Boys fall behind in the first couple of years in education, and they continue to fall behind further and further as they go through. We might even sound a bit embittered, which is actually not true at all, because I absolutely love what we do. Yes. But part of loving it is taking ourselves seriously and recognizing the substance of our work. So if we're talking about that, by the time they get to the other end of education, so we're talking about year 13 students, let's look at university entrance literacy. It's a very basic literacy qualification that students have to have if they're going to leave secondary school and go into a tertiary qualification somewhere. Every year, including 2023, last year, at least 3,200 fewer boys get UE literacy than girls. So that's every year we're churning out 3,200 more failing boys around literacy than we are girls. And there are girls who need this help too. Not every girl passes. But honestly, we're working in boys' schools, and the challenge is there. We can't have a disparity like that. Another statistic on all of this is if you look at just university entrance in general, so that's not just literacy, but of course, without literacy, then your ability to attain qualifications is significantly hampered. So university entrance is getting level 3 plus the literacy component. Last year, there were 9,933 boys and 12,959 girls getting that same qualification. Once again, it's about a 30% difference. So we are really failing boys in our education system at the moment. If you look at what you said about year 3 and then what we see about year 13, in those intervening 10 years, nothing's changing that pattern once it's established.
It makes me go a little bit silent, because it frightens me. You know, because of course we work with boys and we care for these boys that we're working with, but also as a mother of boys.
Anybody who's got a young son going into education, seeing figures like that would be alarmed. And I think there are other things to think about here. Like, one of the responses that I'll sometimes get from people when raising these kinds of statistics is, oh, but men do fine in the end. But I think what's happening there when people say that is that they're looking at the men in my age group, who, by the way, at the time that I was at school, were succeeding in education. And our success, partly propelled forward by the patriarchy, you know, the hegemony of male men looking after each other and only providing access to each other to high status positions in society, has meant that men in my age group are doing fine. They were A, well-educated, and B, at a social advantage. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about boys now who are coming through the education system and significant numbers of them failing where girls aren't. And you can't project forward 30 years and say they'll be fine, because the men 30 years in the future are fine, because the conditions are just so different. I also feel like the system is rigged against boys to some extent.
Well, I know that lots of people say that NCA suits girls better than it does boys.
Sometime through this podcast, we'll have conversations about gender essentialism and things. But for the time being, we're saying boys and girls, and most people don't understand the differentiation we're making.
If I say the old adage, C's make degrees, boys just do the bare minimum to tick the box and then move on, whereas girls angst.
So if that's true, is that just an inherent boy trait, or is that a culture of education thing? Like, do you think that boys are born lazy?
No, I don't think they're born lazy. they certainly do operate very differently. Like, you see that as a parent as soon as they come out of the womb. They're so different in their wiring. So boys can be a little bit dopey. I'm referencing my own son here, okay, one of my boys. And it doesn't matter how many times you give the instructions to put stuff away, you repeat the same objectives or expectations at home, it passes over the top.
But I actually would say that if you're not motivated to achieve what the system tells you you should be achieving, it could be because there's a kind of a mismatch between your way of experiencing the world, or whatever you say, your culture, and the system you're in. It does seem problematic to me that these days that young men go through primary education almost entirely and exclusively being taught by women. I don't think that women are bad teachers of boys at all, but it's the modeling thing. It's the you have to see it to be it thing that I have some concerns about.
But I also think adding to that is this is the constant phrasing of, oh, you know, he's not ready yet. They don't have the same maturity. Boys just like to play a little bit longer. He'll eventually get there. Oh, some of the boys that are well behind always end up going to university.
That narrative that says he'll eventually get there is patently not true, is it? Like they're just not getting there.
With this, you're talking about, like, coming back to this original thing, the education system not set up for boys, but then possibly not having role models that are males in that world for them to see, but also this narrative that maybe we don't need to have great expectations of them because they're just boys.
Yeah, and I mean, we all know what happens if people have low expectations of you, then you just kind of act in accord with the expectations that people have. That's essentially how young people function. And I guess one of the things that troubles me too is that I've been listening to the narrative in the media recently because there are concerns about the literacy standards that have been introduced for NCEA. And because there's been a significant failure rate. The thing that they are often doing, a lot of the educational leaders are doing, are kind of saying, oh, it's the problem is the test. And I keep thinking, well, the testing system isn't the reason that the kids aren't passing the literacy test. It's the students' literacy that's the problem. Yes. And we need to face it. I really struggle with the idea that the education system itself can't formulate a statement that says, yes, we're worried too, and something needs to be done, rather than just saying, no, it's fine to carry on getting them to draw pictures for English and then hoping for the best. Oh, sorry, I've got to bend my bonnet about static image. What is a static image anyway? I've been working in the system for 20 years. I still can't figure out what one is. When you start thinking about what boys are, when they get into boys' schools and they can kind of diversify because they're not under scrutiny anymore, it's just beautiful seeing what a boy can become without the kind of restrictions that are often placed on them.
I walked into my level 3 class and one of my boys said to me, "Happy International Women's Day," to me. And I said, "Thank you." And then I talked about how it'd been mentioned in staff briefing. But then it raised a really interesting conversation with one of my level 3 boys around why there should actually be an International Women's Day. So that was interesting.
I might ask my colleague to if I can share her sermon, because she sent me the script and she addressed exactly that, how if you're in a fragile state, you might, this is my words, but if you're in a fragile state as a man, you see International Women's Day and your knee-jerk reaction is to say, well, what about an International Man's Day? She did a sermon on that and talked about how uplifting one group of people doesn't inherently mean that everyone else has to go down.
Oh, that's good.
And she did it. She spoke about it in a Christian context as well.
I like
actually
that.
Thought it was pretty fantastic. I mean, we do work in a media studies program about male representation in media. Mm. And when you set aside sport, there's basically no positive representation of men in media. It's just, and it's fine to make jokes at men's expense. There's no wonder, is there, that the boys start to become very focused on sport, because, of course, that's where they're affirmed.
Yes.
So one of the things that's coming up that's pretty exciting is that we're running a conference. Oh. and it's all about teaching boys English.
I'm coming and I'm so excited.
Well, there'll be some information associated with this podcast if you're interested in joining us, but it's going to be a really good time where we bring together a whole lot of different people who work with men or young men in the school setting and just share our expertise and experience on doing that. I think it's needed, and it looks like there are lots of interesting people who are going to be there. So
Chris, when is it?
1st to the 3rd of May in Christchurch, and I'll attach the info to the podcast so that people can chase that up if they want to.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, as somebody that's attending with one of my colleagues, and she's starting into her second year of teaching, we are both so looking forward to it. And I mean, you're obviously covering so many things. People have to sign up. They have to sign up, because if you care about boys and you care about their achievement, you need to be going to this conference.
I have to come back to the fact that talking to somebody who's the head of English at Otago Boys High School, I feel like a schoolboy. It's hilarious. Like you are in a place that kind of like burrows right into my origin story. So it's pretty amazing. And I love it. And I love that it's you. I think it's a beautiful
thing.
Thanks. They're so lucky to have you.
Thank you. Just like your school is incredibly lucky to have you. And actually anyone who's come across you and have been fortunate enough, and don't edit this out, to have you inspire them in terms of either a student or a teacher, we're very lucky because you have so much to offer. So, you know, this is why I feel quite blessed to be doing this with you, this podcast, because I'll learn lots.
As will I. And it gives us a chance to have a chat every fortnight. So you'll be hearing from us every fortnight. Lovely.
Okay.
Bye. See ya.
It's a Boy Thing, a fortnightly chat about teaching English to boys with Gina and Chris.
I think being a man is having good friendships and strong relationships with the people around you.